So good morning, everyone. Today and tomorrow, we're going to be sitting and walking and discussing and listening and focusing what we were talking about yesterday into a more contemplative practice. Yesterday, quickly, who was not here yesterday? One, two, three, four, okay. Yesterday we had a seminar, a conference, on secular Buddhism and ethics. And a number of speakers presented reflections from various perspectives on this theme. And that will also be the theme we will continue today and tomorrow. We're going to be looking at two things: how the Dharma, Buddhism, if you wish, is encountering a secular world, a secular situation, and how that encounter is transforming or changing the way we think about the Dharma. In particular, we're going to focus on what that means in terms of ethics. And as we saw yesterday, the word ethics covers a wide range of human experience. Broadly speaking, I will understand ethics as the ways we live, the ways we practice in order to lead a good life. I don't think of ethics as simply adhering to moral rules. That is part of ethics, but ethics for me and for many other thinkers is far wider than that. So today we're going to start by just stopping and sitting and walking. And I'd like to spend the whole morning in silence. This after at lunch, the silence will not continue. Likewise through the afternoon, but I think it would be a good idea to ground ourselves in silence. And this will allow us to become perhaps more inwardly autonomous. Those of you who were here yesterday might remember Thomas Metzinger's presentation, in which he spoke of the need for inner autonomy or spiritual autonomy, which we can also understand as a kind of internal honesty. I think the word he used was eine innere Redlichkeit. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Redlichkeit. And I think this is an important dimension of meditation. It's about being completely honest with oneself. And to that extent, meditation is also an ethical act. It is a willingness, an openness to stop just following the habitual stream of thoughts and emotions and memories and plans, which tend to just sweep us along, and choosing to stop and just look with honest eyes at what is going on. So we're choosing to stop and we're choosing to look with honesty, with openness. That is an ethical act, I would argue. It is ethical in the sense that it establishes a foundation for the way we live in the world. It's not separate from that at all. It's not simply taking time out to be self-indulgent. But rather it's about grounding ourselves in our own inner autonomy, as Thomas put it. So let's begin then with some sitting meditation, and then we'll continue with walking meditation, sitting, walking, until the break at 10 o'clock, where we'll have coffee. But again, let's keep the silence through the coffee break. We'll then come back at 10:30, and again, sitting and walking, and then at 12 o'clock, we'll have an open discussion about what we've been doing. And at 12:30, we'll have lunch. And then on from that point, we won't maintain the silence, unless, of course, you would like to do that. Each individual can make their own decision on that. But I do think on weekends such as this, it is an opportunity to meet one another, to get to know each other a little, to exchange ideas, to begin to create perhaps the beginnings of a community, of a sense of sangha, of togetherness. Now, I want to ask a question. Is anybody here completely new to meditation? He's never done it before. Okay. So, what I'm going to suggest is not that we do any particular practice, but this is an opportunity for you to settle into whatever form of meditation you find helpful, that you feel grounds your experience. But every now and again, it might be helpful just to think about inner autonomy. Does meditation allow you to be more, basically, to be more true to yourself, in the sense of being free from, let's say, wandering thoughts, attachments, worries, opinions? This kind of inner autonomy is essentially a kind of solitude, of Einsamsein, I think you say in German. Not Einsamkeit, aber Einsamsein. Being alone. So inner autonomy is learning how to be comfortable and at ease with yourself. which is actually quite difficult. We're often not comfortable with ourselves. In fact, meditation often shines a light on that existential discomfort. We don't feel so good in our skin. We feel troubled about something within us that we can't quite identify. There's a kind of malaise sometimes. So whatever meditation you do, ground yourself, focus, be more attentive of what rises up in your thoughts, in your feelings, but without immediately judging or liking or disliking what's going on, but being able to say as honestly as you can, yes, this is where I am right now. This is my life. This moment, in this place, with these people. That's where I am. This is my heartbeat, my breath, my neural circuitry firing away. At the same time, this is the beginning of autumn and the leaves are changing and it's a Saturday morning in Heidelberg. Without making a sharp distinction between inner and outer, simply being open to the totality of what is present here and now. So let's begin actually by standing up, and we'll just stretch for a few minutes. Sort of pull, push, twist, bend, get those stiff parts loosened up a little. Okay, so when you feel a little bit loosened up, then let's sit down again. If you get distracted, just come back to your body, your breath, whatever you are focusing upon in meditation. And notice how you lost your autonomy. You were swept away by a thought or a story or a worry. And you lost your own centeredness, your capacity to just be attentive. So come back. Keep coming back. So let's now spend the next 30 minutes doing walking meditation. We can do that outside. We're fortunate in that it's not raining yet. Or we can stay in here if we wish and walk slowly up and down in any free space. The purpose of this walking is to enable us to bring our meditation into something closer to everyday life, moving around, walking up and down, standing still, being more impacted through our senses, seeing and hearing and smelling, touching, tasting. But at the core, at the heart of this practice is also the cultivation and the stabilizing of our own inner autonomy, our own non-reactive presence of mind. That's the crucial thing. But if this non-reactivity is to become part of our ethical life, we need, I feel, to come into a much clearer understanding of it, but more importantly, to understand reactivity at a bodily level. In other words, how it is simply a function of our nervous system, our neurobiology, that triggers all of the thoughts and opinions and emotions that keep coming forth. So whether we're sitting, whether we're walking, whether we're resting, whether we're having a cup of coffee, use our time here today to keep coming back to one's solitude, one's aloneness, one's honesty with one's life. If you have not done walking meditation before, then I would suggest that you go outside and you identify a piece of ground about 10 meters from beginning to end. Stand still at one end for a few moments, just collecting your attention, feeling the ground beneath your feet, the air against your skin. And then slowly, but not too slowly, walk up and down this 10-meter track. Try not to move your head. Try to keep your attention on a point about 2 meters in front of you. And if you hear something or see something, and you feel the reaction of turning your head to look at it, just keep focused on the path, on the track. So to continue what we're doing here, but in movement, that's really the only difference. You're focusing on the rhythms of the body as opposed to the rhythms of the breathing. But apart from that, you're cultivating the same quality of mindful awareness, of non-reactive attention. That's the same, and that's the key. So let's stand up and then walk outside.